got caught in this one, but I'm trusting the Lord for his grace to bless us tonight. We have a promise in the Bible where there are two or three gathered in my name, Jesus said, I'm there in the midst to bless. So it's got nothing to do with who's doing the speaking. I believe I'm just a microphone tonight, but he is the speaker. So don't look at me. If you look at me, you will be disappointed. But I want you to look beyond the veil tonight and look at the speaker. Amen. Like I'm holding this mic, that's what I am. When somebody's giving a speech, you don't look at the microphone they're using, you look at the speaker. So I'm just the microphone tonight. So don't look at me, but look beyond the microphone and look at the speaker tonight. Let's hear what he has to say. If you turn with me, please, to your Bibles, to the book of Genesis. I want to read from verses 1 through 5, and then we can pray. Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1 through 5. It reads thus. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Shall we pray? O most gracious, merciful, heavenly, and eternal Father, Lord God, you are the altar of life, the giver of every good gift. Father, you are the one who comes, Lord, to make the difference. We pray, oh God, as we've read your holy word, may you come down tonight, Lord. May you speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, I'm depending on you for everything. Lord, you place me in this position. You know why, Lord. I pray that you would take the vessel out of the way and that you would speak to us. I'm depending that you will pour out your anointing tonight, Lord. Just give me that courage to speak your word as you laid it on my heart, oh God. I pray for that inspiration, Lord. Take the human element out of the way and let the Holy Spirit come and have his way. May you bless your people as they've come, Lord. May we receive, Lord, from you tonight. The prophet of God told us that you are supernatural, God, and where you are, the supernatural is. But the thing is, we have to come upon your grounds, Lord, to receive what we have need of. So we pray, oh God, that you will lift our faith tonight, Lord, to receive the word, to come upon grounds, to receive what you have given us tonight, Father. We pray for those on the wheel coming, even those that won't be able to make it. We pray that you'll bless them. Remember our precious Pastor Elijah tonight. May you be with him wherever he is, with his family. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'm really trusting God for inspiration. Hallelujah. I want to speak on a little talk tonight titled, God's Word is Ironclad. God's Word is Ironclad. Hallelujah. Amen. I looked up that word, ironclad. I got quite a few definitions for that word. It says here it means of very rigid or exciting, inflexible, unbreakable, so strong or secure as to be unbreakable, solid or certain, not able to be disputed or questioned, irrefutable, hallelujah, rigorous, severe, exciting, as an ironclad oath or pledge, so firm or secure as to be unbreakable, having no obvious weakness. I have another definition that says, ironclad means not able to be changed. Now, in the 19th century, it says ironclad is either cover, is like a ship. In those days, they had like wooden ships. And when they went to fight in wars and stuff like that, the weapons that were used, the ammunition would, you know, blow the ship to pieces. So they started to lay gold-plated irons on these on the ship to become indestructible. So it says here, in the 19th century, it's either covered in iron for protection or protected in a different way. An ironclad guarantee cannot be broken or taken back. Amen. That is the word of God. I also looked at another word. It says God's word is infallible. That word infallible means incapable of error, not liable to mislead, deceive, or disappoint. It's certain, is incapable of error in defining of doctrine. Amen? It's incapable of making mistakes or being wrong. Hallelujah. That is the word of God. Now we go back to our scripture reading in Genesis. Remember, our topic is God's word is ironclad. God's word is ironclad. God's word is indestructible. It cannot be broken. When God says something, it cannot be taken back. That word, you can depend on that word. God cannot change his mind by his word. It says here in verse 2, it says, let's read from verse 1 again. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. When God spoke that word, let there be light, that was ironclad. It couldn't go back. It didn't matter how long it took. Light had to appear because God said so. That word is ironclad. That's what it means, ironclad. And the Bible says, and there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, in the book of Psalm, chapter 9, verse 40, I'll just read it to you. It says, for 1,000 years, and the sight of God is but as yesterday, when it passed, and as a watch in the night. Also, in 2 Peter 3:8, it says, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day with God. So when God spoke the word, said, let there be light, it didn't just appear poof. It took 1,000 years. It took a period of time. It seemed like there was nothing happening. God spoke the word. Just imagine in our lifetime, you wait a month, a year, 2 years, 20 years, 30 years, nothing happened. And it seemed like there's nothing going on. But remember, that word that God spoke was ironclad. It took 1,000 years to go by. And it seemed like nothing was happening, but it was something going on. Because God spoke the word. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to look, before we go to God's word, let us look at a man is as good as his word, Brother Branham was saying. So I want us to look at God. Who is God? Who is this one that when he speaks, it must happen? That there must be something about this man that when he says something, it has to happen, regardless of what happens. Amen? So let us look in John chapter 1. In John 1:1, it says, hallelujah. I'm like a teacher tonight, so please bear with me. Hallelujah. I want to read John chapter 1. Verse 1 to 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That same Word was in the beginning with God. It says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. But now the prophet of God taught us, because all we can see in the scripture is in the beginning. But then Brother Brennan came on the scene, and he took us beyond the beginning, before the beginning, to see where everything started. Before there was anything, there was God. So I came across this message, who is God? And I want us to look at this God. I want us to read what the prophet said. How everything started. Because the reason for this is, it's important. A lot of times the Bible says, God said, where there are two or three gathered in my name, I'm there to bless. And the prophet of God says, where God is supernatural. So where God is, the supernatural is. And God says, where there are two or three gathered in my name, I am there. I'm not just there, but I'm there to bless. Then the question is, how come we come into the presence of God, service after service, year after year, we come, we have needs, we have problems, but how come nothing happens? You see what I'm saying? How come we don't get anything? We don't get results? That's a reason. Why is that? Because God, we just read that God's word is ironclad. So what God says happens. He says, I'm there to bless. And the prophet of God confirmed to us that where God is, the supernatural is, God is supernatural. So how come when we come into the presence of God, a lot of times we leave the same? Why is that? I want us to look at this quote for a minute. This Brother Brent preached this message in 1950, August 15th. He said, let us take back. Let me go a little further back. He said, now let's look who God is just a little bit. He says, I'm feeling for something tonight. I've asked God something. I believe he's going to grant it to me. I believe it with all my heart. Now you be in prayer. He said, I can't speak until he speaks. Let's just take back and find out just a minute who God is. Let's look back at the beginning of time. This is a little picture I want to draw so you can get some conception of who this being is in our midst tonight. Do we believe he's here tonight? Amen. He said, that's moving amongst us. If you can only realize who that is, healing will be a secondary nature. A minor thing to you if you can just see who he is. Remember the last time I was talking to the church and I was talking about that picture where the lily grew when the angel of the Lord stood behind the prophet. Now, God was just showing us that he's there wherever the saints are gathered, he's there. Now, a lot of times Brother Branham would stand in the pulpit and he would be like, it is not me. He said, I can't do nothing if he doesn't come. So that same God who made that promise where there are two or three gathered, that same angel of the Lord is here tonight. But the thing is, we want to know how to receive our blessings in the presence of this angel. Now, Brother Branham is painting a picture here for us. He said, if we can truly recognize this being, then healing or whatever we have need of would be a secondary thing. So we want to know how, because the prophet of God was showing us something, how to receive from God. I believe a lot, that's what I was trying to tell the church, that a lot of times when you come, you don't focus on the preacher because he's just the microphone. You got to look at the speaker, not the vessel. A lot of times it's so common to stop at the vessel, but you have to go beyond the vessel to receive that is coming upon God's ground. This is what the prophet, this is why the Brother Brandon was saying this to us, to show us who this being is so we can put our eyes and our focus on him. And when we do that, then we'll receive what we have need of. Amen. Am I making sense so far? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, we keep reading. Amen. He said, and there, that great space, where no one can fathom in your mind beyond that space, eternity. He said, that Jehovah God out there. Now let's go back. Take 100 billion years ago, and then take back 100 billion years before that, and just keep going back. Here, not long ago, he said, I was in California, there was an observatory. They have a glass there, and they can see 120 million years of light space. He said, how fast light travels. And beyond that is still space. That's where we're hanging in that tonight. He said, but let's think of before there was ever anything, there was God. He was in the beginning, and let's see him. And picture him out there in space. That's Jehovah we're speaking of. And watch how the Trinity of God comes to man just for a minute. He said, that great space where no one can fathom in your mind beyond there. That space, eternity. That's Jehovah, God out there. And we're taught in the beginning that the Logos or the Son of God went out of God. He says, now I do not believe in eternal sonship. That's even radical to even mention such a thing, eternal sonship. You see, let me keep reading on. So he first was God, Jehovah. And out of him, let's just picture now as a little drama so that you can get it. Let's see coming out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light. a little mystic light, like a halo. And that was the Logos that was out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was what was in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God. And then out of God came the Logos, a part of God that went out of God. So let's notice this. Now, I have to make this, before going back into it, just a little picture drama here for you a moment. Amen. Now, see, this is just like a child playing before the door. It was the Son of God, the Logos. And I can see him out there, and he spake and said, "Let there be light." Hallelujah. And there was nothing. But there was something happened. And Adam turned there and began to whirl around this way. The sun began to come into existence because he said, "Let there be." There's the authority. Amen. There was way, 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 way back in eternity. There was nothing, just space. He said that was God. And then a light broke forth out of this invisible being. And that was the Logos. And he was like a sun playing before the door, and then he spoke. Now, when I read this, I just think about it. I just picture that angel that was behind the prophet. You know, that same one. It's the same angel. He spoke. He said, "Let there be," the prophet said, "nothing happened." He said, "But then something happened. An atom." It's like an atom broke forth and started turning. And light started to come into being. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the same one we're speaking of tonight, that's here tonight. Amen. Remember, God's word is ironclad. Whatever God says will never pass away. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, where did he make it from? I don't know. There was nothing to make it from. But he believed his own word, and there was light. I can see a piece fly off that. It's a meteor. After a few million years, or 100 billion of years, if you want to call it, and it circled way out. I see him standing there watching it, and it falls down in here. He stops it after it falls a few million years and let it hang out there in orbit. Here goes another one flying off the sun. It goes over here and hangs down, stops it there. What's he doing? Writing his first Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So that same one spoke the worlds into existence. He said, "Let there be." And there was. It took a period of time. It seemed like nothing was going on. It seemed like nothing is happening. But something was going on. The thing is, whatever God speaks will never go void. You can rest on it. Sometimes we have need. Sometimes we ask God for something. It seems like it's taking forever. But one God says so, you can rest on that. You see, we're creatures of time. So a lot of times we look at things from perspective of time. But God is not a creature of time. He's a God of it. God dwells in eternity. So every day, like a 50 years from now, we see like few years gone, but with God is still today. So we can rest on, Brother Branham says, the word of God, he says, is a chain that your soul is hanging on over hell. And he said, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So we must hold on to the word of God. Hallelujah. For that word cannot pass away. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want us to look at another character in the book of Genesis chapter 12. Speaks of Abraham. Let's read Genesis 12, 1 through 5. It says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham," "the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And in verse 3 he says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And in verse 7 it says also, "And the Lord appeared unto Abraham, said unto him, Thy seed will I give this land." And there he built an altar for God who appeared unto him. So we see the same God coming in Genesis 12 and picking a man named Abram. Abram was going about his business, doing his normal thing, you know. He didn't know who this guy was. And God appeared to him and God called him. And God told him that he must follow him, for he would show him a land that he, God, will bless him in. And so Abraham obeyed God, took his wife, his father, his nephew Lot, and went his way to where God was showing him a land where he didn't know nothing of. The thing was, he believed God, and God made him a promise that he would give him a seed. Now, naturally, the Bible tells us that Abraham's wife, Sarah, was barren. They had no children. That's one problem they had in their marriage, was there was no children. And it was the one thing that they were longing for, children. So God comes on the scene, calls this man, and makes him a promise, "I will give you a seed." Now, remember, God is making a promise. First, God called him and said, "I'm going to show you a land." That's a promise. Remember, God's word cannot fail. So anything God says, Brother Bram says, God cannot lie and be God. God cannot learn. God cannot change his mind. So whatever God speaks, that's permanent. It cannot be changed. So God called this man Abraham and said, "I will show you a land. I will bless you in this land. In other words, I know your problem. You need a son. So I'll give you a son." So Abraham believed God, took his family, left everything, and started his journey to a strange land he knew nothing about. But he was believing on this God that called him. Hallelujah. Now, naturally, it makes sense for young people to say, "Okay, we don't have kids, but God promised us, so we believe in God that we will have children." So that makes sense. That makes sense. In the natural, it makes sense to everyone. So, okay, young people can have kids. That makes sense. But the Bible says here that Abraham was 75 years old. In those days, that was all right to have kids. But God, if we go further down, the Bible says God waited an extra 25 years. Now, that didn't make sense. Because when they were in the position of bear children, when we were at the age to bear children, it made perfect sense. God made me a promise. I will have a child. But when it went beyond the age of bearing children, now it didn't make sense. So I don't think, at this point, I won't even blame Sarah for getting to a place of some doubt, because naturally, you see, our minds, the human minds, is finite. So we only know, we can only think this far. You know, because that's not natural, that's all we know. But anything beyond that is like, it doesn't make sense. And that's the position Sarah was in. She was at the age of childbearing, she and Abraham could have children. God made this promise, knowing that God's word cannot be broken. They believed God, where it seemed like God failed. Like 25 years. That's a very long time. That's a very long time to just fulfill one promise. But remember, this same one that made this promise way, way back there, when he spoke that word, he said, "Let there be." The Bible said it took 1,000 years. So what is 1,000 years compared to 25 years? So God is not a creature of time. But for Abraham and Sarah, they are creatures of time. So for them, it was a very long time. 25 years, Sarah started doubting, and she couldn't take it. Even the Bible tells us how Abraham himself laughed at one point, because naturally it didn't make sense. But you see, when you're dealing with God, then you go beyond the natural. Because, hallelujah, because God is supernatural. You see, God, Brother Bram says, God is sovereign. God is sovereign in himself. God don't come down. God don't work according to our desires and our levels. We have to come upon grounds to God's level. Because he said, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways." And another thing is, God is the one who brings things to pass. We cannot do it. But all we're required to do is to believe God's word, to take God at his word, because that word cannot fail. Once God speaks that word, it'll never fail. I don't care how long it might seem to take. If God says this is going to be, it's going to be. Hallelujah. So God made him a promise. After 25 years, nothing happened. So Sarah came up with an idea. So, well, you know, in those days they had, there was a time of slavery and stuff like that. And in those days, like, your maiden can have your kids and stuff. So Sarah came up with a brilliant idea. Said, well, Abraham, the way I'm looking at things, it's not working out. But why don't you, you know, maybe you should take Haggai and, you know, and have our children. Maybe that's how it's meant to be. Now, Abraham being the head of the home, the man with the word should have corrected Sarah right there and be like, hold on. God said this, and let's hold on to God's word. But he reasoned with his wife. And Ishmael came on the scene. But what God promised, you see, God means what he says, and he says what he means. If we go back into scripture in the New Testament, remember at the point where the disciples were on the boat, and the Lord Jesus came to them walking on the water, and they were afraid because they thought they seen a ghost. And he said, do not be afraid, it is I. And Peter said, Lord, if it is you, then bid me to come. You see, God don't play with words. So Jesus said, come. Peter said, bid me to come. He said, come. So Peter took God at his word and started to walk on the water. You see, when God, sometimes I feel that when God says something, sometimes we make excuses for the word of God. We shouldn't do that. God says what he means, and he means, he told Peter, come, amen, come. So Peter got on the water. Peter started walking in the water, believing the word of God. But then Peter got distracted from the word, and he turned to look at the circumstance. That's what the problem was. So we see in the word of God, when he promises something, he means what he says, and he says what he means. The word cannot fail. The word, I know it's a little teaching tonight, but just bear with me. The word cannot pass away. God's word is ironclad. Whatever God says, he means what he says, and he says what he means. All we need to do is believe God's word, and we will get results. Hallelujah. So back to our character, Abraham and Sarah started doubting the word. But Abraham, the Bible says, Abraham believed God's word. Even though at one point he laughed, but he still believed God's word. Because, see, God was dealing with Abraham. And Abraham knew, this God is coming to me, appearing to me. This is not a natural. This is not a man. So even though he laughed at one point, but he believed God's word. He said, he began to realize that what this God says, he means it. He began to recognize who this God was. So he started to hold on to the word. Now Sarah, on the other hand, wasn't having this experience that Abraham was having. When God appeared to him giving communion, when God was appearing to him and showing the visions and stuff, Sarah wasn't having that. But Abraham was the one having experiences with God. So Abraham held on to that word. He believed God. He started to take that promises more seriously. God means what he says. So when God, at one time, God appeared to Abraham, when the three men came, and Abraham recognized who God was, Sarah was in the tent. When that same angel, that same one that stood with Brother Branham on the platform, it was that same one, the angel of the Lord. He said, I will visit you according to the time of life, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Look at Abraham's attitude. He believed. He didn't say anything. But look at Sarah's attitude, because she wasn't coming in contact with the supernatural. She was still looking at the natural reasoning, and she was right, because naturally, you know, that's all she knows. And what she was, her point, what she was making sense. But what she didn't recognize was this one who was making this promise, who he was. She didn't recognize it. That's why she laughed. She said, can this be? And then he picked up her thought. We all know the story. Hallelujah. But God could have struck Sarah there, but because of Abraham, we all know that. But the point I'm making is, whatever God says, hold on to it. Hold on to it. That word cannot fail. That word is ironclad. God's word is ironclad. He said, whatever you ask in my name, he said, I will do it. That word is ironclad. You can rest on it. And a lot of times, I believe we fail to recognize, I do that. We fail to recognize the presence of God. Now, if that same angel, when the prophet of God was on the scene, those people came in the same angel that was healing them, that was setting them free. But what did Brother Branham tell the people? He said, "You don't even need to come in the prayer line, just touch the hem of his garment. If you can touch the hem of the garment, you will be made well." We have in a book of in the book of Luke. Let's first go to Matthew. There's three more characters I want us to look at. Matthew chapter 15. Behold, a woman of Canaanite came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cried after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. But look at this woman's attitude. The Bible says, "He that cometh to God must believe." It's all about recognizing. You know what I'm saying? If a poor man comes to you who doesn't have money, let's be practical, and says, "I'll buy you a Mercedes," you have the right to doubt that man. Because when you look at this man, he's poor. He doesn't even have proper clothes to wear. Let's say he's a bum. You won't take him seriously. Because just by looking at him, looking at his background, you see there's nothing to substantiate his claim, his promise. But when a wealthy man comes to you and gives the same promise, you would take it a little more seriously. You see what I'm saying? Because you go through the same test. You look at his background, you look at this guy's bank account, you see how he's helped other people and he's capable, you will believe it. Now let's bring that to God. The same one. He came down in our day. We read the scripture. We see these things. So we can say maybe, it's in Bible days. We don't know. But he came down in this day. And he did the exact same thing. Now when he make a promise to you, don't you think it's right for you to take God at his word? Because we judge his character. We look in the scriptures. We see scripture after scripture after scripture. There's same people like us in this age, in other generations, that went through the same thing and took God at his word the same way and got the same result. And we come to our generation and we see what God has said in this day, and we see people of our generation having the same result. Don't you think if we do the same thing, we will get the same result? He said, "I'm the Lord, I change not." It's Hebrews 13:8. But it comes down to recognizing. That's what makes the difference. Those people recognize. He that cometh to God must believe. See, Abraham believed God. He recognized who God was. He saw something. That this was not an ordinary. This thing is not religion. This thing is beyond church. This is God. And God has vindicated himself in this day. And I see God doing something for my brother and sister. Then I want to find out, what is my brother and sister doing that they got a result, so I can get the same result? Because God does not change. If we come upon the same grounds, he's got to do the same thing because he's God. Amen. That's why I'm trying to get to the church tonight. That's the thing that the Lord laid on my heart, that God's word is ironclad. No matter how it's preached to you, no matter how the prophets say it, no matter how you read about it, you got to get to the point to take God at his word. when Philip went to Nathanael, he said, come and see. He said, this Jesus of Nazareth. We found the Messiah. He said, shall anything, Nathanael said, shall anything good come out of Nazareth? He said, come and see. Come see for yourself. Amen. Is everybody on the same page? Am I doing okay? Amen. Amen. I'm just going a little slow. I haven't done this in a long time. So it's my first time. So I'm just getting the thought across. Hallelujah. So we see in Matthew, we see this woman's attitude. She had her daughter who was vexed with a devil. And this woman, she realized that the only solution to her problem was this Christ, this Jesus. Nobody else can help her. I believe she heard testimonies of how he set others free. So she got to the place where she recognized that he is the only one. So she beelined for him. She went after him. And when she went after him, look what he said to her. It's not meet for me to give the children's bread. Now, Jesus wasn't being mean or rude. Brother Bram says the word correct the error. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. So she, being a Gentile, called him Lord. So the word, the Bible says he was the word. The word had to correct the error. But look at this woman's attitude. Knowing that, recognizing who this, the word was, when the word corrected the error, when he said, it's not meet for me to give the children bread to dogs, she said, true, Lord. Because she recognized who she was. She recognized first who he was, and she recognized who she was. So she humbled herself and accepted the word. She said, but the dogs eat the crumbs. That's faith. You see her approach. We can only impress God by his word. God has, that's a word used as a protocol. If you want to see the president, you can just go to see the president. Even if the president didn't come to the White House, there's a protocol to follow. You got to go through that protocol. God is sovereign. God has a protocol. And we need to learn that a protocol to come to the throne of grace. We cannot just come anyhow. He's our father, but he's also a king. He's also the king. So there is an order to follow. God has an order. Brother Bram laid down order, church order. There's things for us to do. There's a way to approach God. There's a way to come to God. There is order to follow us. He's a king. He's the king. Our blessings is there, but we have to come the right way. Take, for example, a car. If a car was built to run on gas, if you put water in the tank, it won't work. It can be a brand new car, all the parts, everything is in there. It won't work because it was made to run on gas. You put diesel in it, it won't work. Put oil in it, it won't work. You have to put gas in it. Then the thing will work. That's the order it was built to use. It's the same thing you come to God. Remember Brother Bram talked about how he said this, he talked about the electricity in the field. He said you can cry and say, oh great electricity, let out light this field. He said, oh no, light up. He said there's enough electricity to light without them lights. He said, but you have to work according to laws of nature. Then you will get light. He says the same thing. It is with God. Hallelujah. So sometimes we feel we ask God something, we don't get results. Brother Brown says not that there is no balm in Gilead. It's the people. It's the people that won't take it. People won't follow protocol. Look at this woman. She followed protocol. She recognized the word. She said, true, Lord. She recognized the word. She took her place. But she didn't give up because she believed. See, this woman was determined. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring her to pass. She was determined to receive. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be open. She wasn't giving up. She said, true, Lord. She said, but the dogs eat the crumbs. The brother talked about how you should say nice things to one another. We want to take another character. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's take Luke. Let's see.
next time I can run and shout and jump all over the place.
Amen.
And tonight we just get in the Word. That's it, you know, and just follow the principles of the Word. Luke chapter 7. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom do this, but he loved our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word. And my servant will be healed. See, this centurion, he recognized who Christ was. You know, there were, you had the Pharisees and Sadducees calling him a devil, saying all kinds of stuff, you know, about him. But this centurion recognized the Word. He saw something. And when he recognized, and because the thing that helped him was the training he had as a centurion. Because he knew what order was. You know, if you're in a certain position, you know, you got people, subordinates under you that follow order. He follows order. That's military. So there's no way you can break that up. You'll be in trouble. So he knew how that worked. So when he recognized Jesus, he knew that this Jesus is the Word. And everything else was subject to him. So he didn't even find himself worthy to approach. Look at his attitude. He didn't even find himself worthy to approach Jesus. He sent the Jews. He said he wasn't worthy to even approach him to ask him. But he sent the Jews to beseech. The people that he taught were worthy, the religious, the brothers. He called the brothers to approach the Lord, not him, because he didn't find himself worthy. And after the Lord agreed to come to his house, he wouldn't let Jesus enter his house. Because, why? Because he recognized who Christ was. That's where the key is. That's where the key lays. Recognition. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Brother Brandon said, the only way we can get anything from God is by faith. When you truly believe, in order to truly have faith, you have to recognize. Look at Moses. Remember when Moses, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and at one point God wanted to wipe them out. Now, Moses stood in the gap. Why did he do that? Because he recognized what did Moses say? He said, Lord, kill me instead. He said, what would the kings of the earth say? You know, Moses recognized who God was. He recognized the presence of God. And he didn't want God. He knew that God was so great and God was so high and God was so holy that, he said, in other words, he was saying, Lord, don't defy your name. It's like, don't let these ungodly kings say things. Your name is too holy. So just take me instead. Satisfy your anger with me. The way I understand that scripture, Moses wasn't really pleading for Israel. Even though he was, that was the spirit of Christ. But he saw something more than that. When he recognized the presence of God, it's like, Lord, just kill me. Don't defy your name. What would the kings of the earth say? Listen to Moses' statement. What would those people say? It's like you're just going to, don't degrade yourself, Lord. Just take me out. That's what the presence of God does to a man. When when he recognizes the presence of God. Brother Branham said, a fully surrendered man is omnipotent. So there's nothing wrong with the word. There's nothing. Sometimes we don't see a result. It's not because God is not faithful. That word cannot fail. But the problem we have is just protocol. We miss protocol. That's what happened in the Bible with Abraham and Sarah. Sarah missed protocol. That's why Ishmael came on the scene. Because she was a creature of time. She was looking at 25 years. And naturally, it made sense. 25 years is a long time. Can you imagine? You ask God for something, you keep waiting, and everybody's looking at you, keep waiting. And Abraham believing, and people was probably laughing at Abraham, his own servants and stuff. But Abraham knew why he believed God, because he knew the one who made the promise is not a man. Time don't mean nothing to him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this centurion has his attitude. Let's take another character. The woman with the issue of blood. Same scenario. Same scenario after scenario after scenario. Lady with the issue of blood. She tried everything she could. Probably tried all the Pharisees, all the preachers around the hospital. No one could help her. Until she had to come to the place. She just heard. She had to recognize the word. See, she believed in the preachers. That's why she went to them. She believed the doctors could help her. That's why she went to them. But they couldn't help her. But when she came to the place and recognized the very word that was there the whole time, why didn't she go to Jesus first? You see? But when she tried everything else and it failed, then she got to the place, she recognized the word. Look at her approach to the word. She said, she didn't say, if I can go and let him pray for me. She said, if I can only just touch the hem of his garment. Just see the level of faith, of recognition. I don't even have to bother him. You know? I must just touch his garment. That's it. That's all I need. I shouldn't even touch the whole garment, just the hem of it. And I will be made well. And when she recognized that and she realized that that was going to happen, she took action. All she did was just touch the hem of his garment. And she was made well. So these are principles in the word. Hallelujah. So God has an order. God's word cannot fail. God's word is ironclad. It cannot pass away. Whatever God promised, we sing the song, every promise in the book is mine. You see, I don't believe in going with the flow. You know, I'm not downing anyone, but when it comes to the message, I believe, you know, when God says something and it happens for this person, then I want to experience the same thing myself. Because, you know, we all believe in the same message, we all following the same God, so why not me too? You hear testimonies of testimony of testimony. We hear Brother Elijah give his testimony, this one give testimony, that one give testimony. But what about me? I'm in the same church, I believe the same message, nothing is happening, what's going on? What are they doing that I'm not doing? See what I'm saying? I read the same Bible, I listen to the same tapes, but how come I'm not getting results? Protocol. Protocol. God is supernatural. Just think about it. God is supernatural. Brother Brent, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. So if we believe the word of God the same way, we have to get results. When we come here, we come to meet one person. So how come we don't get results? That's something is wrong somewhere. That's this thing the Lord laid on my heart, and I just wanted to share it with you. You know, part of protocol. Recognizing the presence of God, recognizing who He is. We're individuals. We walk, we're together, but we're individuals. We're a believer. It doesn't mean you're not a believer. Sometimes the believer is so difficult for believers to receive healing and stuff, and other people just get it like that. Why is that? Sometimes it's fear. The prophet talks about fear. But we need to get to the place we got to take God at His naked word. When God says something, don't make excuses. He said, in Malachi, He said, try me. When God says something, see, sometimes people run from church to church because they're thinking, well, maybe this brother is not powerful enough, so that maybe that one is a better preacher. So if I go there, I will get. It's not the brother. It's you. You got to come to a place to recognize God's word to get results. Remember, Brother Brown talked about that brother who was going to the different meetings, you know, for healing or something, and he went to overround meetings and it says speaking tongues, and he spoke, he did everything and nothing. And then he came to the prophet meeting, and the prophet told him, he was talking about the track that he saw, and Brother Brown told him that track when he gave his life on that track. That was it. God wants you. God wants me and you to take him at his word. That's protocol. If we don't take God at his word, we'll never get anything. That's why two people can be in a service. One person can get the supernatural and the other person nothing happened. Why? Is it the other person better or more spiritual? No one is more spiritual than the next one. It's your approach, your recognition towards God's word. That's why one person can receive and another person get nothing, because it's the approach. We see it in the scripture. God is no respecter of persons. If we come the same way, the Bible says that we're in the upper room on the day of prayer. Brother Brown said they were not kneeling, they were not praying, they were sitting. But Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for a promise. 500. How many ended up there? 120. What happened to the 380? They didn't believe. So who received the promise? The 380? Those who obey. Those who follow protocol. They receive the blessing. It's the same thing. God promised he would send us in this day a prophet. Hundreds of years back. Did it happen? It did. In the Bible, Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. How can a virgin conceive? Even the prophet himself, the prophecy he gave, it didn't make sense to him. But it wasn't a prophet, it was God speaking. Did it happen? It did. You see, our unbelief doesn't hinder God. God's program goes on. We either get along with it or we are left behind. But it's a privilege, you know, to get the word of God. But when you receive the word of God, it's up to you now what you do with it. Remember, I'm talking about how we live below our privileges. We fail to follow protocol. God demonstrated these things so we can pick it up. Prophet of God is the first wave sheaf, right? So if there's first wave sheaf, there are other sheaves coming. And who are those sheaves? The bride of Christ. That's who we are. But he was demonstrating these things to show us the pattern, to follow the pattern, so we can come up to maturity. If the bride fully realizes who she is, the rapture will go. So it's up to you and me. But always remember, God's word is ironclad. Whatever your need is, just think about it. Whatever. We all have different needs. You know what your need is. You know what your situation is. The promise of God is there for you. You claim it for yourself. Forget your husband, wife, children. You take it. You take it. You take it. It's for you. And once you take God at his word, you will meet God. I have my own experience, my own testimony. The church knows my testimony. Doesn't mean I was a better Christian. I was doing anything great. I just took God at his word. Just I got to a place where this thing is either true or it's not true. You know, if the prophet talk about this, I hear this testimony. What about me too? Why can't I experience this? So then I started getting desperate, because what were these people doing, you know, to receive the promise that what I'm not doing? All these years I'm in the ministry. So then I started searching and I started seeking God. And when I followed the right protocol, God answered me. Just like that. It's the same thing. It's so simple. It's not complicated. It's so simple. But always remember, God's word does not fail. Everything that is in the message, everything that is promised for this day is there for you, but you got to take it. You have to take it. That's all it is. The angel of the Lord is with you and me every day. God wants to help us more than we need help. But we have to come upon God's ground. God will never come upon our ground. What the prophet is saying. We have to come up to God's level and do it God's way. If we want to go in God's rapture, we have to do it God's way. When I come to your house, you have rules and regulations in your house. It's your house. If I want to feel welcome in your house, I have to obey your rules and regulations. That's simple. We do that every day. Another example I should give, I'm just winding this down. You know, like, I have my car outside. This is how I believe we should think this way. Now, I have my car outside. Now, I'm not going to be in church thinking, I hope when I get in my car, it will start. Because there's, for me, in my mind, there is no reason why my car shouldn't start. Because everything is in order. There's nothing wrong with it. So if I go out and start my car, if it doesn't start, I'll question it. Because it's supposed to start. We do that. We all do that. When you stand up and you sit down, you don't think, oh, I hope if I sit, this chair is going to hold me. The chair is supposed to hold you because it was built properly. If you sit in a chair and it falls, you will question that something is wrong somewhere. You see, we should take, that's faith. The prophet talked about that's faith. It's everyday faith. Now we should take that same faith and apply it to the promise of God. If I ask God to heal me when I'm sick, there's no reason why I shouldn't be healed. It's not that I hope so. But you see, the way we do it is, well, I hope I'll be healed. Because we're believing more that we would not be healed. But for our car, we believe more that the car should start. If the car, you get what I'm saying? If the car doesn't start, we'll question that. That's faith. There's no reason why the car shouldn't start. But when it comes to our healing, then we take the opposite side. I hope I will get healed. But you believe that you won't get healed. So you're hoping that you will, but it should be the other way. That if I'm prayed for, I will be healed. If I don't get healed, I will question that. There's no reason why I shouldn't get healed. Because the one that made the promise. You see, we should change it around. It's simple faith. We can stand to our feet. Amen. So just to encourage ourselves in the word, you know, take God at his word. It's just, you know, stay with the word. What God says, he means it, but you must come to the place and question, you know, why am I not getting results? Why am I not seeing things, the supernatural? If God is supernatural and he said, where there are two or three gathered in my name, I'm there to bless. And where God is, the supernatural is, then how come I'm not seeing the supernatural? Because God cannot lie. So what am I doing that is causing me not to see the supernatural and everybody else to see? What am I doing wrong? Am I doubting the word of God? Look at Abraham, Sarah's attitude. Even when God was there in flesh, Sarah still doubted. It tells you what she was looking at. She was still looking at her body. She was still reasoning. She was still thinking this thing is impossible. But Abraham was looking at God. You see, where you put your attention is, that's the result you're going to get. If you believe that, if you ask God something, God would do it because God is God, and you stay focused on that being. It's not you're going to do your own healing. It's not you're going to bring it to pass. He's going to do it for you. So if you still focus on him, he will do it. Because he cannot lie and be God. Don't look at the time. Don't say, oh, it's going to take this long. Don't look at the circumstance or situation. God don't. Let me give one more. Oh, it's one more on my heart. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, a real dear friend. And Lazarus was sick. His sister Mary and Martha sent someone to find Jesus. Jesus deliberately stayed extra. They went a little further. He told them to go. He said, I'll be. But he went a little further. He deliberately did that. Look how Martha added to a believer when Jesus came. He said, Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. Well, let me see if I can. Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she went unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down, it was Mary, fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Amen. So her human reasoning kicked in. She believed that if Jesus had come in time, he was going to heal him, because going back to his resume, he's healed a lot of people, he's raised the dead. But that's where her reasoning, human faith, stopped. But by now, there's even you, there's nothing you can do now. We just have to wait. But she didn't know who he was, really was. Then he tell, didn't I tell you if you believe, you see the glory of God? And then he tell her, I am the resurrection. She believed when he, in the resurrection, he would be risen. But the resurrection was standing right there. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. So you see again, you see protocol. You see again how we reason things out. A lot of times we cut ourselves short. It's not God's fault. But God is waiting on us to come up higher, take protocol. That's you see Martha's attitude. She believed that he could do it, but looking at the condition that by the hand. But then God had to step in and show that I am God. Amen. So have confidence in this God. This God who called you. Brother Branham says salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. This God who called us is more than able to take us through. But we must believe God's word. We shouldn't look at our circumstance. We shouldn't look at a situation. How long it's going to take. We got to go into that super sense, that subconscious, and believe God. That's where that super sense is. And believe God there. Whatever you have need of, whatever you desire from God, he wants to give it to you, but you got to come up. Waiting on you to follow protocol. That's just, God's not going to change his mind by his word. We got to fit the word. Amen. I can go on and on, but I'll just stop here for tonight. I pray that, I know we're just talking on the word, but I pray that something was said that, you know, make us to see, you know, to understand, you know, why that certain things happen in our lives, why, you know, things are the way they are. You know, God is waiting on you and me to take a step. Same thing with Israel. He gave them the land, but they had to go take it. So wherever you put your faith in, wherever you put your faith, that's where you're going to get the result. So we must put our faith in God's word. That word cannot fail. It's ironclad. Just remember from this day, God's word is ironclad. It cannot fail. It cannot fail. Once God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I may not see the result today, tomorrow, 10, 15, 20 years, but God said so, just stay right there. Once God said so, just stay right there. That's all. Don't waver. Don't change your mind. Don't say, well, it's been too long, and, you know, well, maybe. No, there's no. That's what the devil wants you to do, to lose your blessing. Stay right there, no matter what the condition is. If you're praying for your loved one, you're praying for someone, or you have a situation, and you ask God, when Daniel prayed, the first day God heard his prayer. We know about the prince of Persia. The angel is bringing the result, and he was healed by the prince of Persia. But that didn't stop Daniel. He was still praying until he got to stay there until. Amen. And we will have a lot of testimonies, and we will see. The message will become more. The more you get results, the more your faith increases. But we have to come up to God's level to receive it. That's all it is. But God is waiting on us. So the Lord is trying to point our attention to see, to let us know why there's certain things. You know, you make some corrections, some adjustments, and then you would get the result. That's why. Amen. So I hope that this simple words was a blessing to you, just to get you to thinking a little bit on the word, and, you know, getting to taking a hold of the word of God, taking a hold of faith, getting the result. Amen. We'll bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father, for your word, for speaking to our hearts, Lord. It's a simple message, just expressing, you know, the way, you know, what you want us to learn. Lord, you speak in different ways. You come in simplicity tonight and just taught us the word. We basically just spoke on the scriptures and learning your principles, Lord, how to get results. We pray, God, that you would take this word and that the Holy Spirit would just quicken it in our hearts and remind us, Lord, when we find ourselves in situations, to know that you are with us. Every promise you've made in the book is ours, Lord. May you just help us, Lord, to take a hold of faith, to take a hold of the promises and stay there till we get the result. We pray, Lord, that you will bless the believers, bless, Lord, the saints of God here, bless our pastor, Lord God, bless the ministry here, Lord. May you help us, oh God, to stay with your word, to keep believing the word, Lord, no matter what happens, whatever happens around us, Lord, to keep our eyes on the word. For you've called us to this blessed truth, Lord, and we will stay in this word, and we believe this word will take us through. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just anoint the word and just continue to minister to us, Father. We thank you tonight in Jesus Christ's name. The blessing is all for the morning. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.